Copen in Copenhagen. This is a podcast about hanging out in Copenhagen.
Yeah. Hello and welcome to The Sick Show, Copy in Copenhagen on 97.7 FM. My name is Owen, and of course I'm here with Marius.
Hello.
This is your guide to living modernly in the city of Copenhagen and living in Denmark and Scandinavian, you know, all the jazz.
All the jazz, yes. There will be some Scandi stuff.
Scandi. Marius. On the episode we're recording at the moment, this moment, what will we be covering?
I'm glad you asked me. We're gonna kick it off with the news.
Yeah.
Then we have an interview. We're gonna have Dennis Vincent from the Belgian Beer Bar 1420 on to have a talk about sort of bars opening up again.
Dennis. A lot of people would know him from. Doing his English comedy nights.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd sit on Facebook.
Don't leave
Facebook
us alone with the Danes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yes. Then we're going to review. You have had a little field piece.
Yeah.
Where you're reviewing the new Noma burger.
Yes.
And we have a very, very special guest on for that.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Then we got some hot tips. And that's gonna be the show.
That's a show.
That, yeah, I made that decision.
All right, I'll stick with your. You seem like a logical man. I'm gonna go with your choice on this.
Thank you.
Let's get into it.
Yes. on the news.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. I said some Scandi stuff. Here's the Scandi stuff.
Oh.
So things are opening up here in Denmark.
Yeah.
And in Germany as well.
Yep.
And there's even talk about opening up the borders between Germany and Denmark.
Yes.
Now, we have another neighboring country called Sweden.
I've heard of them.
You've heard of them?
Yep.
Yes. And Sweden has had a different approach to this whole COVID-19 situation, where they've been a lot more sort of leaving it up to people's own responsibility instead of having some very sort of strict guidelines
that
we've had here.
Yeah, yeah.
This means that Denmark has not sort of, they've yet to be sort of opening up the border between Sweden and Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And the Swedes aren't too happy about that, Owen.
Really?
Yes. The government is actually demanding that Denmark is, the Swedish government, is actually demanding that they open the border towards Skåne, which is like the Öresundsbro and all this,
mm-hmm.
Now that we're opening up for Germany.
Yeah.
So they have very clearly said that they feel like we are discriminating them. And we're discriminating against Swedes.
Ooh.
And Swedish minister for the North, Anna Hellberg, is in close contact with the Danish minister for the North, Mogens Jensen.
Okay.
And they're not all that pleased. But there's a lot of political parties, leaders here in Denmark who are quite hesitant to include Sweden in this discussion for opening its borders to Germany and Norway even. We're also going to open up to Norway because they've had a pretty similar approach as we have.
Yeah.
Due to the higher corona rates across the Öresund bridge.
Well, and do you, historically, is this going to lead to like a little bit of a tit for tat kind of relationship?
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting to follow.
Cause, yeah. Is it likely that Sweden will be like, right, well, if you're not going to open our borders, then we're not going to send you, what do Swedes send? I don't know.
blonde people over here.
Yeah.
Incredibly drunk, mostly. Yeah, no, it will be interesting because there were also, as we mentioned earlier, sort of they are really sort of trying to strengthen before COVID sort of the collaboration and sort of within Öresund, this whole strait, the Öresund Strait.
Yeah.
Sort of there was even talk about this sort of, what was it, like Denmark getting back?
Claiming it again or something like this.
The whole thing. And that's probably going to, yeah, throw a wrench in that wheel in terms of a stronger collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see.
Mm.
But Sweden does have a death rate for COVID-19 patients that remains significantly higher than in Denmark.
But what about Swedes who work here? I thought they were still able to travel back and forth.
Yes, I think, yeah.
So
it's for tourism, basically.
Right. But can I not go to Malmö then, if I wanted?
Probably not you.
Specifically
you, Owen. Yeah. I'm a little bit uncertain about that, actually.
Yeah, because I think
if you could probably go to Sweden.
Yeah.
But that might be you coming back.
But I have a yellow card, so I think as long as you show your yellow card. So I think it works okay for us to go back and forth, but not for them to come over.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a bit...
You could say that is discriminating.
A little bit, yeah.
But they have also chosen a different path in this sort of approach to combating COVID.
The kind of... the different path is kind of like just the we'll path with happens. No... Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but like there is no path. It's just a big open field.
Yeah, it's a big like, open field.
Just run around.
Lick your face.
No more hands. Than 50 of you, though.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you could say it's a bit of discrimination, but they even in this week, Sweden sort of death rate comparably in terms of sort of countries,
yeah,
it's actually is higher than Italy now and the States.
Really?
That's just for this week, so you have to look at those numbers.
Of course,
this week,
yeah,
the
of
numbers
course.
Of their death rate has been higher in overall, in total, yeah. Percentage-wise. It hasn't. But they're not really seeing the same sort of decrease as we are here in Denmark.
Yeah.
So, I kind of think it's fair to be honest, that we're at least a little bit apprehensive about sort of opening up straight away.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Yeah. But that was the Scandi bit.
Uh-huh.
That was the Scandi bit. In other sort of news, corona related, they're gonna now start marking overcrowded areas in pink. Sort of the Copenhagen municipality is marking out areas that it feels are the most sort of vulnerable to being overpopulated. So there'll be pink-colored ground markings in areas such as Nyhavn, Nytorv, Gammelstrand, Strøget, Blågårdsgade, which will sort of remind us about keeping a distance.
Ah.
Yes, so if you're confused and find yourself in a pink area, now you know why.
Right. So are you meant to just try and avoid it, I suppose? It's a weird thing, being like, we're going to mark out the places that have a lot of people in them, but we're not telling you not to go to places with a lot of people in them. We're just going to let you know you're in a place with a lot of people in it.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't tell from all the people, but yeah, maybe it's a little bit silly, but as with like, it's all a new experience. So I think they're just fucking trying out a lot of things.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
We had a little stint to a couple of bars to see sort of how people are. Handling this now that bars have reopened,
yeah,
which was interesting. Also to see how, like, one bar we were handed hand sanitizer, mm-hmm. The other bar was very lax.
There was no hand sanitizer in one bar we went into.
No, there was one in the bar, but not in the bathroom.
No,
there was just one for everyone to, which is also like now everyone's gonna grab that same sanitizer. I don't know,
kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah, a little bit. But it was lovely to get a beer on tap, I will say.
Mm.
In other absolutely non-curated, corona-related news.
Like abbreviated, curated.
Curated, yeah.
we're bringing it into style.
Denmark unveils plans for new floating park. Have you heard about this?
No. I thought I had.
Excellent,
but I hadn't.
Great. This makes it that much more fascinating for you to hear about this.
Uh-huh.
There's a project called Copenhagen Islands, and it's a joint project of the Danish studio Foxtrot and Australia's Marshall Beecher, consists of a thing that's very clever. They've taken park and archipelago and turned it into.
Parkipelago.
Yes.
Oh, exactly. That's terrible.
But it's kind of a cool project because it's these floating islands that will be located around unused corners of the city, this harbor.
What fucking corners are unused in Copenhagen?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, there are a few, I'm sure. Most people just fucking. Everybody's just in either Íslandsbrygge or Kalvabrygge, or like if, I feel like people are gathering at a lot of places.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but the project aims to support the increase in awareness of the local marine life and to sort of improving the harbor environment. So,
Wait, hold on. They're making a floating park?
Yeah.
And what's going to be on it?
Park.
Like trees and shit?
Yeah. So there are some pictures, and they, I mean, it's still in the sort of yet to be built, so there's no
still in the vague area.
Very vague. But yeah, I'm imagining some grass
to understand to get a better appreciation for the marine life.
Yes.
I'm going to stand on grass on a floating device.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I know. Very, very innovative.
I feel cynical today. I'm feeling cynical today. Okay. I don't know why, but I'm in a cynical mood.
Fair enough. Very good. But that's something to look forward to as we are looking ahead slightly here in this country. Mm. So even more pleasure in the harbor.
Yep. Why did you, like, you're gesturing like this is something we should all...
I think it's something we should all embrace.
Yeah. Sweet.
Archipelago.
That is, it's literally, the image I have is there was a meeting with the municipality, and some guy hadn't said anything for a long time, and he's worried about his job. And they're like, "Michael, what do you think? Come on, some big ideas, tourism." And he goes, "Parkipelago,
Parkipelago."
And they're like, "What the fuck is that?" And like, "It's floating parks, right? It's for the marine life, okay? But a park, I like it, Michael. You got another 3 months." Woo!
Yeah, no. I think I thought that archipelago was pronounced archipelago.
Yeah, you've said that to me before.
Which I think is a much better sounding word.
It sounds like archipelago. It sounds like a beautiful dance you do in ancient Greece.
Yeah. And we did the archipelago underneath the
on the shade floating park of
the floating park in Athens. No, but the coming
geopolitical war with Sweden, but it's going to be another one to the long list of wars with Sweden.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
We have a good track record.
You do.
Yeah.
Many of you listeners will have come across the Copenhagen Expat Facebook. That was really difficult to say for some reason. And you would more than likely have seen the fantastic Belgian bar 1420s comedy nights, especially English comedy nights.
Yep.
Improv and stand-up. And Dennis, the owner of the said bar, is going to be joining us now to tell us about the bar's opening again and how they are going to continue doing their comedy nights in the future with Phase 3 coming around the corner. You're on Sick. Hello, Dennis. Thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Dennis, congratulations. The bars are reopening.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a long 8-9 weeks. I think everybody's lost count at this point.
Yeah.
It was time that we reopened.
Yeah. And how's it looking? What's it looking like for bars like yourself?
I think we can summarize the whole reopening period in about 3 words, and that's people are drunk. Which is good. I mean, the first day was pretty brilliant. I mean, it's better than most of our Mondays, of course, usually because we're closed on Mondays. it was pretty brilliant. It was a lot of support, a lot of people that are regulars of the bar, and a lot of new people as well coming in. Mm-hmm. So it's been a cracker of a reopening, and now hopefully we can keep sailing on that. Yeah.
And is there a lot of rules and regulations to follow now?
Well, the main rule is that you have to have 1 meter minimum between companies. So that's people that, quote unquote, regularly hang out with each other, according to the health authorities. It's one of those things that's kind of self-regulatory, but we thankfully our space is big enough to accommodate. So okay. That's not really a problem.
Yeah. How was it Have you been nervous about sort of in any way opening up, or have you just been like, come to the fucking bar, or like in terms of...
We're definitely rearing and ready to go. But there's always nerves, of course, as to how the next couple of weeks and months are going to go. But we're definitely ready for it. And we've been having a lot of fun actually going back to work again. It's weird being tired after work again.
Yeah. And what about, I've heard that the police are kind of keeping a watchful eye on bars and stuff like that. Have you seen a lot of the police presence around at the moment?
Yeah, we've seen a fair few patrols going around, but it's just mostly activity around the cemetery. We're right by Assistance and by the park over here, but that's kind of nothing new. They're just being extra vigilant. We've had a few visits from the police, but that was before we reopened. Just like basic stuff, like putting the paper notices of like, when you're sick, don't go into the bar, etc. That kind of stuff. Yeah. So it's they're being vigilant, but I think everyone can agree that Copenhagen police is very, very helpful, and they'd rather avoid problems rather than make them. So they're good folks. Yeah.
What do you think it's going to be like for businesses after such a long break? Do you think Copenhagen's kind of done the best it could to see businesses like yourself continue, or you think there's going to be some casualties coming in the next couple of months?
Gosh, I mean, there are a lot of big names in our sort of especially craft beer segment that have been closing all around the world. I think Denmark has definitely done much better than most countries when it comes to providing some support. Of course, it is still... people just sometimes don't realize just how much money you need to actually turn over to keep a bar alive. It's rough, but it is manageable compared to a lot of places. Like I've heard some really big names closing. One of the best examples is the bar in San Francisco that Mickler has. That's a huge, huge place. And they've had to permanently close as well, along with the LA bar. There are quite a few places that are falling right now. But in Copenhagen, for now, we're still kind of alive and kicking, and hoping that we can finally stop just straight up living off our savings. So, we'll see what happens.
You're also well known for your English comedy scene in 1420. How's that going to come around? Because can you have events there at the moment, or what are the rules like for that?
No, not at the moment. We're still being a little bit judicious because we don't have specific guidelines for cultural events, which is the same for most theaters, if not all theaters across town. So we are allowed to operate as a bar, but we're still not 100% sure how it's going to work if we have, someone with a microphone telling jokes. It's also, a little bit... we are very, very conscious about health and safety stuff. Like, what do we do, like, with the microphone, for example, between every performer? We've already been thinking about slipping a new condom on it every time. It would be a good reason for walking into 7-Eleven with a big smile and ordering packs of extra large condoms. But the rules are specific when it comes to either bars or cultural stuff. And there has not been an official reopening of the cultural sector yet, which is something that we are expecting to hear some news on the 8th of June, which is when the next phase of reopening is planned to be happening.
Today there was a new announcement, 21st of May, sort of regarding that they would actually already start considering, I think it was from the... end of May to sort of let theaters and stuff like that reopen again.
Well, it's good that they put out the news that they will start considering it.
Yes. but it was like they're seriously considering sort of doing it a bit sooner than the 8th of June. It is this whole. It's a bit more tricky for arts and performances like that because the regulation I'd read was like, yeah, so we have the 1 meter. But for a theater or stand-up or any kind of public speaking, it was a 2-meter kind of thing. So yeah,
2 meter. As if 1 meter wasn't already difficult enough.
Yeah.
I mean, we will obviously be 100% sticking to all the rules and regulations. That's not even something to be considered. Mm-hmm. But I think we're all waiting more news at the moment. And look, I think the main crux as well is the fact that summer is not really theater season anyway. So we're now considering whether it would be worth trying to, you know, give it a few weeks to start everything rolling again, or just wait until after this summer. Because mm-hmm. with, let's face it, with this weather, at the time of recording, the weather is very nice.
Yes.
That should be mentioned in a Danish show.
At the time.
At the time, it's very nice. We with this kind of weather, you can't really get people in with sticks. So it's just right now we're waiting to see if it's really worth the effort. And if not, we'll just get things going after the summer. But yeah. Guaranteed improv comedy and our pub trivia has always been a huge part of how we operate. And once we're allowed to, it will 100% return. That's yeah. for sure.
How have the quizzes been going during quarantine?
Just some online quizzes. Just, you know, as an excuse for me to hang around the bar a little bit more and get drunk.
Yeah.
it's been all right. It's been fun. It's good to keep the... keep the inspiration going and keep the routine going of writing questions and, you know, keep trying to provide a good product for people from the comfort of their own home. So
is there any aspect of things you've learned during the quarantine times that you're going to take into the future of the bar?
I mean, I think just generally for most places, I think the new hygiene rules are really something that I mean, I'm already kind of developing the routine of just like, you know, giving everything an extra clean and giving it's every bartender knows that there's always something to clean, you know, so that's one of the things. And I mean, to be honest, having the place spaced out a little bit is really not that bad. I think this will be what they call the new normal from this point on.
Yeah.
That people just, you know, give each other a little bit of space. And I think that's mostly the general gist. And I think that people will very easily get used to that. So just, mostly paying a little bit of extra attention and just being aware of all the things that can happen and how a very ram-packed bar can indeed become a disease nest.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dennis, thank you so much for taking some time to talk to us in what's clearly going to be a busier time than of late for you, in the best way possible. We hope it works out and that hopefully sooner rather than later we can have a nice pint and a laugh at you again soon.
That would be lovely.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Bye.
Thank you very much to Dennis. Very interesting, funny man. Be sure to go down to 1420 and try his fantastic Belgian beers. And as soon as things are rocking and rolling again, get down and see some comedy there too.
Yeah, go support the beers and the arts.
Absolutely. Now, as many of you may have heard, Noma has a new menu.
Yeah.
They're doing burgers.
Yeah. Surprising stuff from Noma.
World famous, world renowned, Michelin
stars. Yeah.
Yeah. So we thought this was too interesting, too good a story to miss up. And I've pulled a lot of strings.
Yeah, I'm very impressed, Owen.
I've pulled all my strings, pulled in all my favors, and I got an interview with none other than the head chef,
René Redzepi.
Here we are in the Noma kitchens. It's a hustle and bustle.
Nej, vi skal ikke have ikke noget med ål. Kun burger.
The aromas are incredible. There's just so much variety in the. There he is. René.
Hello.
Hi, René. Owen, from the Six Show podcast.
Yes.
We have an interview with you today. I'm sorry.
Let you in?
I was talking to the manager. He said that I had some time with you for an interview.
Okay.
You seem very busy. I'm sorry to be taking up some of your time.
Yes, we're opening up again, so it's a bit a busy time.
Of course. René, you're a world-renowned chef. You've created one of the world's most famous restaurants. It's
I know. Yes.
It's put the Copenhagen on the map for cuisine. Can you tell me a bit about how you created this and how you got into this.
Okay, I can tell this story for the God knows how many times. Well, I was in it was a bit of a rough point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling very lonely, and I thought I would reinvent Nordic cuisine in hope to get some friends. So I started Noma, and it all came to me one day when I was walking through the forest,
mm-hmm.
the Danish forest, beautiful forest in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I need to be special. So I saw some ants crawling across the forest floor,
mm-hmm.
and I ate one of the ants.
Of course.
And then I think it might have secreted some urine into my mouth, but I thought the acidity was beautiful. And that really started a journey into new Nordic sort of locally sourced produce.
So what else were you discovering at this time?
Well, we've been trying everything,
mm-hmm.
Owen. Everything from locally sourced cardboard from Samsø to eel skin from Herning,
mm-hmm.
Raven feathers, pheasant beaks. And it all comes together because I'm a genius.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you've clearly made a mark on the world now with your cuisines.
Yes, I know.
How do you feel about the international community coming in and trying your version of what Nordic food is?
Well, that wasn't really what I was hoping. I was hoping to have some Danish friends, but it seems like Danish people just don't understand anything else but potatoes and salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's been rather disappointing. I mean, all the accolades are great,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not very nice to have to travel to another country to have friends.
I see. And that kind of brings us to the new menu. You're doing burgers. Can you tell me how you came across this idea?
Well, I tried a burger, and it turns out they're fucking delicious.
So you hadn't eaten a burger?
Never had a burger before. This was the first time, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And it was quite an awakening.
Well, I believe it was you went to Max's?
I went to Max Burger, yes. To be honest, I feel like I've wasted 10 years of my life trying to milk ants and, cut grass and...
Mm-hmm.
catch eels and ride a pheasant. So I had a second epiphany,
mm-hmm.
and I realized this is what Danes want. They just want a burger.
So what kind of ingredients are you? Is it like organic buns and like free range beef? What are you using for this?
So that's very interesting, actually. Mm-hmm. We went on a culinary journey in Fakta. And turns
out... in Fakta?
In Fakta, yes.
The shop?
Yes.
Okay.
The supermarket Fakta.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they have some great deals on frozen meat. It's called hakkekød in Danish.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just bought a lot. They had some... that was almost out of date, so we got a really good offer.
Sorry, yes.
Turns out you can actually get most things for a burger in Fakta. So,
do you have a maturing process then? Do you let these like marinate for a few weeks or something like this?
No, it's just straight out the freezer on the pan. We don't even let them thaw. It's just put it on the pan.
And what's the reaction been? Are people enjoying the burger?
No, most people are a bit confused, but there's a lot of money because it has the name of Noma,
mm-hmm.
and it's made by me, and I'm a genius.
I hear that you have a wine pairing with it?
Yes, turns out Fakta has very good deals on cardboard wine,
mm-hmm.
cardboard box wine.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lovely Chasse Blis. From Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That's god awful, but it's wine.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's important to think of finances during this time, because Noma has been hit hard.
Of course, of course. And what's next on the menu for Noma? What other epiphanies have you come across during these times?
Well, we're going to start serving some fiskefrikadeller, some fish balls from Fakta with Remmel.
From Fakta.
From Fakta. Everything is going to be locally sourced from Fakta. Turns out, yes, as I said, you can get pretty much everything. So it's going to be some iceberg salad, some lovely cardboard wine,
mm-hmm.
red and white.
Two
options, yes. we've got some frozen French fries also. And we're going to finish it all off with a lovely roulade. You know, the dessert, the cake, that it's also called maybe a roly-poly.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
Comes in raspberry and...
Sorry, you're saying...
Comes in raspberry and chocolate.
And how much will this be?
So the... For the full menu,
mm-hmm.
the burger, a glass of wine, and some roulade to finish it off with, that would be about 700 euros.
Oh, okay. Well, I must say it's a bold move.
We are reinventing things again here at Noma. Don't you want to try the burger?
Oh, I suppose that looks a bit. It looks a bit raw, I'll be honest with you. It doesn't look totally cooked.
I've made it.
Okay, I suppose I'll...
Just for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a bit hard.
It's a different texture than a normal burger.
I think there's plastic in this.
That's also locally sourced from Fakta.
Right, Rene, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy day to talk to us at the Sick Show.
Yes, you're very lucky.
I wish you all the best in your endeavors, and we'll be sure to come and enjoy your Fakta cuisine in the coming months. Thank you.
We're excited.
Well, there you go.
Wow, Owen.
Yeah.
That I can't believe you got...
I'm in a few people's pockets for that one. That was a lot. He was a genius.
Yeah, well, he's world famous.
That was
one of the best chefs in the world. Wow.
I think we're honored to have experienced that.
I can't believe you got to try it.
It was wow is all I could say.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I would happily remortgage the house to have a meal there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
What a genius.
What a genius.
Let's rock on. Marius.
Yeah.
Tips. Hot tips. What should we be doing in the week to come?
Well, so let's kick it off with Noma's Burger. so this was they are actually starting up with a burger menu.
Yeah.
It's going to be a $15 burger.
Which is actually seriously reasonable.
That's like 101 kroners.
Yeah.
So that's, and it starts from Thursday the 21st. So today when we're recording, actually. Mm. And let me just read you how this burger, because it's a fairly normal burger in many ways.
Yeah.
But of course, there's a bit of sort of Noma, Noma aesthetique over it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dry aged Babbitt steak. Cheddar cheese, sliced red onion, and a pickle-packed house-made mayo. It'll come on a freshly baked potato bun from a local burger joint Gasoline Grill, and it'll be roasted in the same pan as the meat is cooked in. This being Noma, the patty will be spiced up with beef garum for umaminess.
Wow.
Yes, and it's not going to be indoor seating. They're, of course, also having to adjust to this whole thing.
Yeah.
So they're doing kind of an outdoor picnic setting.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
And it comes with a wine pairing. And Yeah. And they will, they're considering at one point also maybe doing some I think it was some chicken, fried chicken or something like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, some ice cream. So, yeah. But it will be a limited period. This is sort of because they had to adjust to this whole COVID thing. So the normal Noma fancy-pantsy stuff will come back at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a great chance, I think, for everyone to try some Noma cuisine.
And say they've been to Noma and had a meal. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yep.
So go spend $15 and get your
That'd
burger.
That'd be great experience.
Another thing that's been a success story during COVID is Cinematigles. So this sort of cinema that sort of makes these more curated film nights.
Yeah.
They're following up on their success of this temporary drive-in they've had in Norheim.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Kicked off back in May, 2nd of May. Where they screamed Thelma and Louise. Mm-hmm. But they confirmed they're going to do one more week.
Oh, great.
So this is your chance to go to a drive-in. The theater is extending their program with 7 more screenings from Saturday, which includes 5 new movies. One is Cleo from 5 to 7, 8.5. That's a film.
Oh, right, okay.
All That Jazz, Breaking the Waves, Last One Trier film, and The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
8.5 pounds, is it?
Doesn't.
No, never mind. I'm thinking about something totally different.
9.5 weeks was a film?
Yeah, no, 1.5 grams was another film. Anyway, we're just naming movies now. Yeah. But that sounds cool.
Yes. So,
you should definitely check that out.
Yes. So it's actually, it's your last chance to do this Cinematical thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to a drive-in. Never done that.
No, I haven't done a drive-in. I did an outdoor cinema in Australia, but I was so stingy, I didn't pay for it.
Okay.
So I got like a really shit angle of the screen and I watched Argo, the Ben Affleck movie.
Yeah.
Not great.
No.
And
still won an Oscar.
Yeah. But but no, never did a drive-in. That sounds cool. Yeah. That sounds cool.
I heard they're doing drive-in techno raves in Germany now.
What?
Yeah. Some people sitting there, like, there's this kind of like a drive-in, it's just a DJ instead of a movie screen. And then people are sitting in their car.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh.
An experience. It looked quite awful. anyway, final hot tip is go to 1420.
Yeah.
Support your local bars. Go to any bars right now. They really need customers and cafes as well. Go out there and support locally.
I'm pretty sure we don't have to be telling people to do that. They're doing that in their droves, but it's totally true. Get out, keep all these businesses going because we've all gone through a tough time and it's good to go
drink
out.
An extra beer. Is my hot tip, just to support them.
Responsibly, though. Thank you very much for those hot tips. You've been listening to The Sick Show podcast. Check out our Facebook page for links to things we've been talking about. Check us out on Spotify, iTunes. Give us a rating. Once again, thank you very much to anybody who's clicked on the Copenhagen Post. Lovely to have you on board. Thank you very much.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
Goodbye.